have our favorite National League umpire here, Eddie Montague, today. In honor of him, we are going to do the league leader update for the National League while you're here.
There you go.
And we do that for Ignite, who's leading the National League in average homers and RBIs. Sponsored by Ignite, the leaders in enterprise file sharing, Ignite.com. Ignite, Pat, because the cloud is never enough.
It's all about the cloud.
It's not enough. So that's why we okay. go to Ignite. Hey, home runs. Giancarlo Stanton, 21. Tulowitzki, 21. Those are tied now.
Okay.
How about Anthony Rizzo coming out of nowhere? He's got 20. Marlon Byrd and Todd Frazier with 18 each.
Wow.
Marlon Byrd could be moved.
Yeah.
RBI, Stanton, 63. Goldschmidt, 61. McCutcheon, how did you like his night last night?
Unbelievable. The ninth and then the 11th, making catches. I mean, this guy, and the Pirates commentator, what does he say? He says,
clear the decks,
cannonball coming.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, pretty fun.
McCutcheon, 61. Adrian Gonzalez, 60. Average Tulowitzki still up there at 344. Matt Adams at 330. And McCutcheon, 325. Boy, that's going to be a heck of a race for MVP this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Really. Hey, Jen is going around with a couple of things. Have you figured out, Jen, yet? All Out Baseball. We have two gift certificates for $100. And talk to Jen about it in Santa Clara. And Caleb is talking about golfguide.org. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. If you're a golfer, you want to talk to Caleb this morning about a special offer from golfguide.org. All right. We're joined by Eddie Montague. And, boy, first of all, great jersey today. And so I can describe it for everybody on the radio. It's green. It's a National League All-Star uniform jersey. It is from Colorado because they got the Rockies on the side. And I didn't realize, as an umpire, you worked that game. Were you the crew chief in that game?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Crew chief of that game, Colorado, in the 90s. And how'd you get a jersey?
Well, they give
your name on it.
The players, if you notice in the Home Run Derby, they're all wearing this type of jersey. It depends. The following All-Star game, I got one that said American League, but I was going to not wear that, Marty. But anyway, they give them out to all the players and the umpires. It's a nice gift, you know, and they put your name on it and your number. So,
wow.
Yeah.
How many All-Star games did you work?
I worked 4 All-Star games.
And crew chief?
I was crew chief in 3 of them.
Wow. I want to ask you this. Someone called in last night, and, you know, of course, the Angel Hernandez stuff, you know, stirs a lot of controversy up, and said, well, ask Eddie, how does someone become a crew chief? Because Angel Hernandez is a crew chief, and
Angel's,
they want to know how that happened.
Angel's taking over for Larry Vanover right now, but it's just, you know, it's just your seniority and how you handle things on the field. And I was just telling one of our fans here that because Angel's had kind of a bad rap with the Giants in the past, Angel's one of our top umpires, really. I mean, it's just, I guess you run into certain clubs and things happen, but, you know, he does, I see him day in and day out watching reviews and stuff like that. He's got great baseball instincts and stuff like that. And in the past, Angel, he had a reputation for being hard-nosed and short-fused and stuff like that, but that's kind of gone away over the last 7 years or so. If you notice, he had a good chance to get Bochy in this past series, and I think Bruce wanted to go, but Angel left him in. And, Bruce, if I was still working, you'd be gone.
All right. The question came up last night on the show, so I wanted to ask you that. All right, All-Star Games, a big thrill to do them, and you find out, I guess, what, a couple of weeks ahead of time, and must be quite a thrill and honor, really.
It's an honor. It's an honor to work them. It's, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to work 3 plate games in those, 3 out of the 4 I worked. And they're fun, you know. It's still work. When you get out there and they throw that first pitch, it's a game, you know. So you're working and there's pressures and stuff like that. But it's a great time to bring your family and friends, which I did on 3 out of the 4. The first one I worked was out of the country. It was in Montreal. It was the first All-Star game out of the country. And I was already up there because the Giants were playing there. And my best buddy Bob, who's a big Giants fan, I had him come up for the Giants series, and then he stayed. And you know that you can invite your wife, you get to invite one guest, they'll pay for first class flying and all that stuff. Well, I invited Bob thinking, it's just a baseball game, but it turned out the All-Star game, the gala was unbelievable. Coat and tie, tuxes, Donald Sutherland was the MC. They had lobster piled high in the galas. Yeah. It was beautiful. So the next three I worked, the wife came, Marcia came, and my kids and friends and family and stuff. So it's a great event.
Yeah, that's true about the food.
I mean, just lobster and all kinds of goodies.
It is a big party, that Monday night.
Yeah,
it is a big party.
And the entertainment. I mean, when I was in Colorado, we had Tim McGraw and Faith Hill were a private showing for everybody, you know.
Huh.
I know they've shut Disneyland down on occasions for the players and their families and the umpires and stuff. And
to the parties, do people let their hair down? And do umpires, do you guys fraternize with the players and the managers and all that?
You see them around, and everything's okay with that. And matter of fact, I was doing the one in Houston, and Harold Reynolds had me get up on stage. I forgot which country western singer was there, and I sang with the guys. So hey, I have a little fun.
Was it Country
that.
Joe West? Doesn't he sing, Joe West?
I sing better than Joe.
Okay.
Country Joe McDonald.
Joe's a great entertainer, though, but yeah.
Marty's had a rebirth of his 60s roots, but yeah, isn't it Joe West that does all the country western songs?
Yeah, Joe's got a few albums out and stuff like that, and but I play the guitar and do a little bit of
everything. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever got up with Mike Kruko and got to pick it on the banjo all that?
No, but we've talked about it. Mike's told me about some of the instruments he has and stuff, but I've gotten up, and my baseball fantasy was I got to sing with Garth Brooks.
Okay.
In the dressing room in Mesa. When he came up, he signed my guitar. I said, "Well, you got it in your hand. Let's do a little bit of the dance."
Yeah.
And that's another story of how I met him. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Boy, you know, Garth Brooks, of course, did the Padres spring training.
Yep.
And, to raise money for charities.
Well, I'll give you that story then. That's how we met. See, Bruce was managing the Padres at the time, and I'm walking on the field, and I was a Garth Brooks fan. And I'm looking into the dugout, and I see this guy looks like Garth Brooks. And I'm going, wow, he brings the lineups out. It is Garth Brooks. So about the fifth inning, they bring him in to pinch run. And I shouldn't have let him in because baseball wasn't too happy with that because of insurances and stuff. But he comes in, and he pinch runs. And I said, hey, don't get picked off. He gets picked off from here to across the street. They're playing the Cubs. I look down at him. He looks up at me, and I said, safe. He jumped off the bag, gave me a hug, and they tagged him again. I said, he's still safe. And the Cubs are looking, they're laughing. I said, I can't call out Garth.
Yeah, no, you can't.
And so from then on, we kind of, he's come around a few times. And,
this is what
makes great.
And I say this in all seriousness. Baseball needs a colorful side. And the stories of baseball and the legends of baseball have always propelled baseball throughout the years. And Eddie is one of them. And to hear these kinds of stories, you just don't hear this about other people. You're a character of the game, but a great umpire. And that's why you stand out from other people, really. And that's why we love you coming on and getting to know you. It's a great honor.
Well, when I was on the field, it was all pretty much all business. But there were some moments where
it's okay.
You got to lighten up a little bit and have a little fun.
All right, Eddie Montague here. You had an all-star moment, though. And this is the story that got me when you started telling me this story. About being in, was it Wrigley Field, I believe? I forget where
Wrigley
it was.
Field.
Wrigley Field. Yeah. Sit back, fans, and listen to this story. This is a Major League umpire talking about how he worked the All-Star game at Wrigley Field. Go ahead.
Well, it was my first crew chief assignment, and it's always a thrill. And for 10 years, I was touring the veterans' hospitals around the country, and a hobby of mine was also magic. So I'd do a little magic, and I'd show a baseball film, and then I'd talk to the veterans. Well, right before the All-Star game, I was in Philadelphia and talking to the veterans, and they, got word I'm working the All-Star game in Chicago. And these guys said, well, can you give us a signal? And I thought about it, and I said, I'll tell you what. In the third inning, I will stop the game after the first pitch, and I'll go out and check the ball.
Okay.
And Tom Glavine was pitching, and so third inning comes. I had to put it on my hand to remember. I put a little dot there, and so third inning comes, first pitch. I call time. Tom, give me the ball. I walk out halfway out to the mound. I stop the game, and Glavin's wondering what I'm doing, why I'm checking the ball. The TV announcers, I think it might have been Al Michaels or somebody doing the game, and he says, well, we think Montague's stopping the game because there's a light on up above on the outside of the ballpark, and it may be distracting the hitters and stuff like that. And all I was doing was giving these guys a signal.
And what did Glavine say?
Well, I told Glavine afterwards, and he kind of smiled at it, but, he thought I was checking him for a spitter or something.
Sure.
Now, but the other part of your crew knew this was going on. Bob Davidson?
Well, Bob Davidson was on my crew at that time, and I told him what I was going to do. So he's home watching the All-Star game, and he's got an All-Star party going on with his neighbors, and he says, he said Eddie does some weird things on the field, and usually in the third inning, he'll stop the game after one pitch and go out and check the ball. So everybody everybody at his house where they were kind of amazed.
What a great roster, too, because I'm just looking at this 1990 All-Star Game in Wrigley, and Jose Canseco and Ricky Henderson and Boogie Bear, Kevin Mitchell, who was at the park yesterday.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fun, and it's fun to see him. And in working him, and when I was bringing the families down, you know, it was great to get, because I put the kids on the bench during the home run contest and stuff. And I've got a great picture with Mark McGwire and his son and my two kids, you know.
But, you know, on the field during a season or a World Series, my goodness, I mean, also, it's all business. It's just all business, but you have... You have that playful side. You have that colorful side that separates you. These stories are amazing to me.
Yeah, it is business. It's a lot of pressure and stuff out there. But like I said, you know, I work with one of the greatest umpires, Lee Wire, and Lee was 6'7", you know, a great big man, and he had a real high voice, and he always said, "You got to have a little fun." I said, "Okay, Lee."
Well, the only time I remember, you know, look, I don't remember. You know, who can remember seeing you? I didn't know you then. But I remember being at spring training in Mesa, and I was sitting right behind the screen with Gary Hughes. And all of a sudden, Eddie comes over and starts talking to Gary Hughes. And I said, "Wow, that is very interesting." And I said, "Well, he did that." People used to offer you money.
Well, spring training, I had a lot of fun in spring training. And it was, you know, you always say, "Hey, ump, let's go." And there was one kid on the side, and he's holding up a $5 bill like I'm at third base. And he's going, "Come on, I'll give you $5 on this bet." I walked over, and I took the $5 bill, put it in my pocket, and walked away. And the crowd went nuts. You know. I gave it back to him eventually, but...
Very good.
Well, I asked Eddie what he's doing this week, and I think you're going to my favorite town in the west of the Rockies, right? You going up to Reno?
I'm going up to Reno to scout AAA, the young minor league umpires up there, and that's one of my assignments is covering about 20 minor league games a year along with 100 big league games. So
Boy, amazing. Hey, someone also called in last night about the grading system. For baseball, you know, we watch all this on TV, and we don't have the box with Comcast, so who knows where the pitches are, but a lot of other stations do. How does the grading system work? Does it have to be right over the plate? Is there a buffer area? How does baseball evaluate an umpire?
There is a buffer zone. The plate's 17 inches wide, and it probably give you another inch off the plate on each side on the buffer zone, because that ball's wide, and any part of that ball touching the plate, you know, and I've shown you a couple of the things that we look at. It's called a ZE system, and it's pretty accurate. There's a camera on each dugout, and then there's an overhead, and when you break it down, there's lines. It's like, a bomber or something, you know. And they're pretty accurate, you know, so any part of that ball coming across the plate, that's like sometimes you'll see a pitch you think is low, but this system, they want these guys to stay on the low pitch. And our umpires, I will say, they average 96%.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't miss too much. And, you know, I talking to Sean Dunston the other day, Shawnee is watching the replays and stuff, and he says, "You guys are good."
Yeah.
You know, he realized how close some of these bang-bang plays are, and now with the replay, I mean, it just shows.
Did you see the one on Nick Punto the other night?
I saw that. And matter of fact, I printed out the I don't know if I brought it with me. I printed out the pitch, and it was a little off, but you know what? It wasn't...
Was it high?
It wasn't marked as an incorrect. It was marked as an acceptable.
Okay.
But it was one of those, if you call it the other way, it wasn't going to get marked.
Yeah, that's the issue, Pat. There's an area that's acceptable either way, and that's, I think... All the ones we see say, "Well, it should have gone the other way."
Right.
In the world of umpiring, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask Eddie if he saw in the New York Times this week an article by Nicholas Bacalar, which kind of featured a study from a couple of eggheads out of Columbia University. And they did this status versus reality, that if you're a five-time All-Star pitcher, that you get 14% more calls favorable to you. Now, on the flip side... Now, they did this on photographic evidence, right? Nicholas Bacalar is the author of this story. Now, batters, if you're Barry Bonds, I bet you he got a lot of strikes that were legitimate strikes called his way because of the how well-known and renowned his eye was. But I'm just curious if you had seen this, and were you less likely to call a ball on a Randy Johnson or someone that had great status within the game?
No, you know, you're so focused on that. When you go out there, you're focused on your zone. and stuff. And I wouldn't care if Willie Mays was hitting, and I love Willie.
Oh, come on, Ed. Don't tosh me now.
But really, I mean, you're just so focused on this zone.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't care who was hitting. I mean, it
or
could
who
be
was
my,
pitching if he was
or who was pitching. It could be my
future
kid.
Hall of Famer.
If no, it doesn't. No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't come into the equation.
Even I mean, subconsciously, Ed.
No, not at all. Really. Wait. I mean, that's what separates, I guess, when you know, from an amateur umpire or whatever.
Okay. Because well, plus you're talking to him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a man who's no, seriously. No,
easy, Mark.
This is a Hall of Fame umpire.
Right.
You're not talking to someone who's wide-eyed and you know maybe a little you know younger and coming up in the game a different way. He came up with Al Barlick.
Uh-huh.
You know, people like that, and
yeah.
Al Barlick goes back to Bill Clem. Eddie is in that line.
The lineage of excellence.
Well, it's true. You look at managers who come up through the line, the Casey Stengel to the Billy Martins, the Leo DeRochers, and there is something to that. And Eddie came up learning from the most serious umpires, the most respected umpires of all time.
Yeah, we had some great National League umpires.
You did. Barlick,
and, you
right?
know, when you go down, like my first year out of umpire school, I went to Casa Grande. I was in the Giants camp. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as a kid, I'm growing up a Giants fan. My dad was with them and stuff like that. And you're looking at, Gary Maddux and Gary Matthews, and those guys were in AAA at that time and stuff. And as a kid, yeah, you're kind of in awe. But
sure.
Once both benches are screaming at you, you kind of lose that fan thing. And so that's the way it goes. So through the minor leagues, the more they screamed, you know, the less I became a fan.
I had no
problem separating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that. Believe me, I understand exactly what
I
you're
never
saying.
Trusted the New York Times anyways, Marty. You know that.
No, let's not go there. All right. Now, for no reason other than we don't do politics on the show.
Very well.
No, we don't do that. All right, Eddie, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
You're
always
a good guy.
Always fun.
Hey, have fun up in Reno. That's a good town.
I always have fun in Reno.
And they got an outstanding ballpark. Marty, I know that you're usually involved at the major league level between April and September, but have you ever been up to the Reno Aces?
I have not been there, but I was up there when they were first forming the organization.
Yeah.
When it was first the new organization.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park. Sacramento's beautiful. I mean, these parks. When I was in the minor leagues, I worked in the old Manoa Stadium up in Reno. It was cold and cement and but these new minor league ballparks are beautiful, and they have a lot of stuff for fans to do. So if you get a chance, like your Sacramento or Reno, head out to these places because they are fun, and they put on a good show for the fans.
They do. Hey, and they draw people
as well.
They do. They draw room.
All right, Eddie, thanks. We'll see you upstairs.
Okay, thanks,
Eddie.
All right, let's hear for Eddie Montague.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Boy, Pat, what a show.